check your speakers. This ain't a self-help song or another makeover song, but how it made me over. You dig?
I like me. Yo, you like me? Cause I like me. Do you like me? See, I like me. Cause he likes me. God likes me. Yo, you all like me?
I like me. Yo, you like me? Cause I like me. Do you like me? See, I like me. Cause he likes me. God likes me. Yo, you all like me?
Yo. Short, big nose, big lip. Kind of stuff to step, but I never trip. Got my daddy swag and I walk with a limp. Got a hot wife, no need to be a pimp. Never been cute, never been fly. Cause I've been chased, got that twinkle in my eye. Got my grill fixed, now smile when I speak.
Tell me who that is.
Yo, it's that Jesus freak.
Yo, you like me, cause I like me. Do you like me? See, I like me, cause he likes me. God likes me. Yo, you all like me.
Yo, you like me, cause I like me.
Juice in the booth.
See, I like me.
Why?
Like
that's the piece right there. Hey, and it went a long time for this.
I just smile. I'm so content, and I ain't even got yellow stones on my wrist. I hear the world say I'm supposed to be rich, but I don't buy that, man. I don't go with the trend. I go the whole mile, lose or win. I hope that's the impression that the CDs give. I'm more concerned about how they see me live than trying to get a house from the MTV crib.
Hey,
Frank.
I like me. Yo, you like me, cause I like me. Do you like me?
That's a problem, baby.
Cause he likes me.
Yes,
God likes me.
That boy feel good right there, baby.
I like me. Yo, you like me, cause I like me. Do you like me?
Uh-huh.
See, I like me, cause he likes me. God likes me, so you won't like me.
Catch his feet, baby. You feel that right there? Yo.
When the lights fade, I know that you see more than my swagger, but it's you and me. From the storefront church to the packed out floors,
they want an autograph, but I'd rather give them yours.
The ink don't fade, the crowd once more, the king's on stage, the final encore.
Can't believe it's me now chilling backstage. Big nose, big lips,
don't get your hands raised.
From Texas,
I
baby,
like
hey.
Do you like me? Cause I like me. Do you like me?
Do you like me?
See, I like me.
I like
cause
me.
He likes me.
He likes
me. God likes me.
God likes
you
me.
All like me.
You a size 12,
you
a size 17, size 22, he likes
you.
All right. Welcome. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Wednesday, February the 18th of 2015. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time really explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brother, today, my sister, we have another important topic to discuss today. We want to talk about this thing, or this system that we have called religion. We want to look at how or why religion causes division. So if we look at the word religion, we see the word R-E-L-I, change the I into a Y, rely, drop the G is silent, and we have the I on, rely I on. So religion teaches us to rely on something outside of the truth. Religion teaches us to rely on a truth instead of the truth. And so when we talk about religion, it's a very touchy subject because everybody is willing to, you know, fight tooth and nail for their religion. People take ownership of their religion. They believe that it's their right to defend their religion. And so what we see when we talk about religion, we have to, like everything, we have to look at the etymology of the word. We have to over understanding what is going on from a moral or from a biological perspective when we talk about this term or this idea that we call religion. Religion is huge, as everyone listening to this show already knows. There's no place you can go to escape religion. But the problem that I have with religion, and the problem that most people, the problem that you should have with religion as well, is the fact that religion now has been elevated above truth. And when we talk about religion, we're talking about a man-made system. So religion is division. Let me say that again. Religion is division. Let me say that one more time. Religion is division. Without no religion, there would be no division. So in order for there to be unity, we must remove religion. There is no religion higher than the truth. Not a truth, but the truth. Let me say that again. There is no religion, contrary to popular belief, higher than the truth. The problem with religion is all religions have some truth in it. And there's good things that come about from religion. So when we look at religion, it's tough because we're looking at the fact that there is some good religion out there. There is some good things that come out of religion. But the thing that we have to look for, we have to look a little deeper, is when we start examining what religion does. And so when we look at how religion affects the brain, you know, we've talked about this before, so I'm not going to get too much into the science. I just want to lay a very short message today, because I want to make sure that we're all on the same page, because where we're going to be going, again, this year, as we've been talking about on every show, I've been trying to express, expose, and expand to everyone, to just let everybody know that we're going into this whole pay-per-view thing where there's three levels where you can participate, either the $25, the $50, or the $75 level. Again, in order to listen, to continue to listen to all of these topics that we're going to be discussing, especially like today's topic, because it's such a big topic. And so we want to make sure that I give you everything so that way you can make your own decision. Again, for more information on those three tiers, if you will, or levels by which you can participate with me, again, email me at masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. That email address once again, masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. And that way I can give you all the information on how you can continue to receive all of these messages that we are discussing. Now, when I say religion, I'm talking about systems. Now, the question that we really want to hone in on today is how religion divides us, how religion poisons us, how religion causes confusion and division and derision. And then we want to look at how religion actually affects us from a psychological point of view. So how does religion affect the human brain? And is that something good or something positive? Now, we've talked about that before, how religion affects the brain from a scientific point of view. So we want to look at what is called neurotheology. Again, this is all inside of my book, Neurotheology, the God Gene. And so we want to talk about that as well. But the first thing that we must understand is we must define this very complex term. Because it seems simple, we throw the word religion around like it's nothing. But the word religion is a deep word, because religion is an organized collection of culture. Religion, brothers and sisters, is culture. It's not biology. Religion, similar to sex and gender, sex is biology. Sex has to do with your genes and genealogy, whereas gender is cultural. It's shaped and it's molded by the culture, not by the DNA. Or it's not molded, and this is why religion is so dangerous, because religion is cultural. If you can't have religion without culture, and every religion is shaped and molded by that particular culture that the religion is from. And the reason why this is so important is because religion causes conflicts and division. But further than that, religion causes disagreement, because obviously, how can we agree if I believe in Buddha and you believe in Muhammad, or if you believe in Muhammad and I believe in Hare Krishna? Or, you know, there's a litany of things that we could be discussing when we talk about religion, but we must understand that it's culture. The hardest thing for people to really wrap their brain around is religion is a set of beliefs. It's a belief system. Now, the quest that we are embarking upon today is, where does that belief system come from? So when we talk about beliefs, what are we saying? Well, when we talk about beliefs, we're talking about behaviors. And the reason why this is so controversial is because a belief system is basically an agreed upon set of facts, whether they are true or not. So your religion doesn't have to be true. It just has to be believed. Let me say that again. Your religion doesn't necessarily have to be true. Everybody just have to agree. That is the reason why culture shapes religion. Religion does not shape culture. A lot of people, if you go to different parts or different cultures, or if you go to Japan, I was stationed in the military, had the opportunity to be stationed in Japan. Then you go to Okinawa. I went to Seoul, Korea. Came back stateside. Went to Hawaii. Each place I was at, the culture shaped the religion. The religion was the result of a particular social code or social norm. And we've talked about social codes and hidden norms before. And so when we understand what that means, brothers and sisters, now we're understanding the neurotheology of how certain religions affect certain people differently, because each religion is based upon the culture of that religion or that society. And so when I talk about beliefs, again, we're talking about an ideology. We're talking about a particular way of thinking. And beliefs vary because beliefs are based upon what is called social facts that are inherent or inherited or passed down by the social group. And so when we look at religions, religions take the truth and they adapt it to the culture. Let me say that again. Very, very important. Very simple, but very profound message today, because religion is a collective belief. So religion takes truth and divides it or departmentalizes it. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because it breaks it down so that way it's palatable. It breaks it down so that way it's holistic. So that way it exists in a system that is easily dissected by everyone. But the problem with that, when you dissect it, you dilute it. It's like if you pick a lemon off the tree and you take the lemon and you squeeze the juice out of it, is that still not the lemon? That it is the lemon, but it's not all of the lemon. It's just the juice from the lemon. Religion takes the juice from the truth, and we drink it. Now, it is still the truth, but now it's watered down. Because when you make lemonade, what do? You add water to it, to the lemon juice. Then some people may add sugar to it. And that takes away a lot of the nutritional value because something was added to the truth. So the religion is the truth that has stuff added to it. What's added? Culture. Now, you should be asking the next question that should be burning in your brain is, when I say, what is culture? Well, culture is a dangerous word, because if you notice, the word culture has the word cult in it, C-U-L-T. Now, I know a little bit of something about that, having been raised in a cult. A culture is something that is cultivated. And so it is a set of agreed upon beliefs that is cultivated, nurtured, that people basically highlight it, put value on it. Doesn't necessarily mean that it has value. We give it its value. So culture is something that we take and that we add value to it. We cultivate it. We actually assist it. We fertilize it. Notice it doesn't have to be true. It is just an agreed upon. So if we all agree that, you know, rocks are gods, we get these rocks together and we put them in a place and everybody in the group agrees. And so what happens, my brothers and sisters, is beliefs. No belief exists in isolation in the mind of one believer. It takes a group. This is what is called mass or collective consciousness that establishes the neurons that is needed in order for this particular collective behavior to be cultivated. And so a collective behavior is basically taking a social process or what is called social norms, which is based upon, you know, the social makeup or the social structure of a particular society. And this collective belief system of these social norms or this society, whether it violates what is called society norms or not, if it is agreed upon, and then people will go and they will behave destructively. People will riot. They will picket. They will resort to all levels of extreme violence. They will do crazy things. They will act out. People are driven by their beliefs. Now, we've talked about before that your belief system is your BS system. That is the thing that drives you because it's emotionally based. It's not reasoning and logic, at least most. There are some that are different. And so when we talk about religion, we must understand that we are simply talking about an agreed-upon set of beliefs. Whether those agreed-upon set of beliefs are normal or not. And that gets us into what I call fanatics. We get people that take a set of beliefs and they run with them. And so when we're talking about religion, my brothers and sisters, we must understand why it causes division. It's one thing to say it causes division, but why? So confusion, division, disagreement, derision is a result of religion. So religious people are divided because of their beliefs, because they don't agree. So we all take the truth, and we departmentalize truth. So religion is departmentalized truth. It's called denominations. And if you know the word denomination, it has the word demon nations. It's a nation of demons. Now, brothers and sisters, where there is religion, there is going to be division. This division is the result this disagreement, because there's a contradiction. This contradiction causes us to separate. That's why we can't come together in unity as long as religion exists. Instead of the truth, we got different versions of it. We have a truth. But why do we have different versions of the truth? Is it because, you know, God, we got different, you know, our God was confused on giving us the truth? No, I don't think it's God's problem. It's because of, you know, the fact that the ancient text that we have, even though we know that some of it has jots and tittles have been manipulated, it's because of the book has errors in it. No, it's not because the book has errors in it. Is it because, you know, people don't believe in it? Nope, it's not because people don't believe in it. What is it that causes this division? Well, the number one thing, just like the scripture says, the number one reason that there's division of the truth is because division takes truth. True unity, again, is based upon understanding certain things. I love it where it says in the book of John chapter 17, verse 20. John 17, 20 says, "Then Jesus prayed for all who believed in him to be one, as he and his Father are one." So the scripture clearly states, Jesus said himself, "When you have seen me, you have seen the Father." But yet we got all of this division. But we got one religion, or one God, or one Father. At least most of us do. So this division is the result of man interpreting the truth and departmentalizing it. And this division causes derision. This derision causes confusion. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, 1 Corinthians 1, 10 says, Paul told the Corinthians to cease their divisions. Jesus is not divided. So his followers should not or must not be divided. And so, again, that was the New Living Translation of 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 10. So if we understand that there is no such thing as division in the scriptures, but yet we read the scriptures and then we divide, how is that possible? True unity, again, is based upon under over an understanding that there are many false gods that create confusion. But if we follow the one true God, that promotes unity. It is impossible to follow. Now, again, we've already established on yesterday's show that the truth, or should I say the love of the truth, is the true God. Now, you can put a name on that, because when Moses asked him, who shall I say send you? He said, I am that I am. Really, again, it should be I am that. So the true God, the one true God, is that. You fill in the blank. The true God is I am that tree. I am that rock. I am that whatever creation, it has the spark in it. That's how it's animated. So God says, I am that. The problem is we added I am. Or we separate it, or we run it all together. We say, I am that I am. That's not how it should be. That's not how it should be spoken. It should be stated, I am that. There should be a comma or a pause. There should be a blank and a period. And it's the other over an understanding that when we don't understand what we read. So the number one cause of this division, the number one cause of this confusion, the number one cause of this derision is Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea 4, 6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So it is this lack of knowledge, it is this ignorance that causes confusion and division. Ignorance of the fact that the truth needs to be precluded by the love. And so most people I know, they're going after the truth, but they don't have the love. That causes division. Because what happens when you find truth without love? You have confusion. So let's be clear. You find the truth. And when you find the truth, you find the love. But you don't have the love, meaning that you don't recognize the love, meaning that you are ignorant to the love, meaning that you don't understand the love. You don't understand the golden mean. You don't understand the golden ratio. You don't understand the golden rule. So we talked about those three. We're going to break those three down at a later show. Again, for everybody that's just recently joined, as you guys know, I'm going to a pay-per-view type of a format where you can join me at the $25, $50, or $75 monthly donation level. Again, and that's boring. Hey, somebody with deep pockets comes along and say, hey, Brother Will, you know, I'm going to take care of the whole kit and caboodle. If that happens, we're going to keep rolling here on Blog Talk Radio doing our daily shows. But if that does not happen, then we'll be going to a pay-per-view type of a setting where I'll be giving you a password, and you'll use that password to gain access to the website to listen to the messages. Because what happens, brothers and sisters, the truth and the love is the same thing. And so what it's saying the God, I am, we are. Now, that to most people doesn't mean anything, but to me, that is revolutionary. Because what that does is that causes the brain to act in a different way. You go from a I am statement to a we are statement. Now, this has been scientifically proven. I got all of the research to back it up. When you say it's called altruism. Now, altruism is just a fancy word for love. But what happens is most people are not altruistic. I don't even know if that's a word. I may have just made that one up. But altruism is the foundation of what I would call the truth. Because, again, altruism comes from the Greek word, or similar to the Greek word kino, when we was talking about the love. Because it has to do, it's not agape, it's not eros, it's not phileo, it's not none of the Greek or English type of love that we have. This type of love is a devotion to self-denial. It is an unselfish devotion to the welfare of others. It is the lack of egoism. So altruism is the absence of egoism. What you will find in all religion is egoism. Go to the Reverend Dr. Bishop and don't call him doctor. Now, most people don't call me Dr. Will. Most people call me Brother Will. Why? I'm not hung up on titles. I'm not sitting in Moses' seat. I could care less about titles, about ranks. People argue and fight and debate inside of organized religion because, again, it's about positioning. It's not about altruism. It's about egoism. Confusion follows the ego. Division follows the ego. Attitudes, moods, drama, all of this stuff that we see going on in Christendom today. Because most people may or may not know, but most Christians worship Christianity. They don't worship the God of Christianity. They worship the organization of Christianity. There's a big difference between worshiping the organization and worshiping the creator of that organization. And so if we could wrap our brain around what I call the principles of neurotheology. The principles of neurotheology. It's the under-open understanding of how the brain works. Now, I'm not going to go into all of the details, but all again, because we've discussed it on many, many shows, but all we need to under-open understand is that the neutrinos are the subatomic particles of the neurons. So those establishes what we call a neurological network. And so there is a biological phenomenon, for lack of a better term, that takes place when somebody has open-mindedness or what the Bible calls truth. Now, the word truth in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, God says if you do not have the love of the truth, God will send you a strong delusion. This strong delusion causes division. Let me make sure you understand what I just said because that's the meat of the message. What is division? Division is religion. What is religion? Religion is truth that has been watered down. Religion is truth without the love. You got the truth, but you didn't preclude it with the love of the truth. Now, one of the things that I've said on many shows that causes a lot of concern is there is no truth on the planet. So how do you get the truth if it doesn't exist? Now, brothers and sisters, I've been saying this for a long time, and I will continue to say it because this is my humble opinion. Some people simply don't have the opportunity to do the amount of research that I've done because of, you know, work, family, and whatever. When you research it to the top levels, what you will find is religions. You will find division. You will find watered-down versions of the truth. But you will find that the truth is very, very tough to define. So that's why the scripture says you must have the love of the truth. It didn't say that you got to have love of truth. You have to have the love of the truth. So you got to have a love of the truth. That one little word, O-F, is again, it's an altruistic word, if you will. It is what is called a preposition. You know, preposition, that means that it basically, it's an indication or a direction. And so it's establishing or it's indicating something. What is it indicating? It is indicating that you should have the love of the truth. So this basically gives you an indication of what you should do. It didn't say that you have the truth. It says you should have a love of the truth. Notice the difference. It didn't say that the truth was there. It just says you have to have a love of the truth. That means you have to have the love that takes you away from everything else, takes you down a path to the truth. Because the Father knows that the truth has been manipulated by the Cosmogrator. And so he says, all I want you to have right now is love. That's going to take you in the direction of the truth. But we focus on the truth, we don't focus on love. That's the problem. The problem is, my brothers and sisters, is that altruism, that true, everybody is after the truth, myself included. And when I did 40 years plus of researching and I came to the truth, I did exactly what it says in the book of Thomas. Number one, I was devastated. Number two, I marveled. Number three, I reigned. So in the Gospel of Thomas, it says that, you know, continue your search for the truth, because when you find it, you will be shocked. You will be devastated. That means that you're going to be emotionally and spiritually discombobulated. Now, we've talked about that before in the Gospel of Thomas, where it talks about what happens when you find the truth. Because when you find it, you realize it. You realize that what we have been taught is, you know, a department of it. It's not the entirety. It's the same thing as finding God. If you guys have a, you know, everything about God, then we need to talk. Because God is so big, I can't define him. I can't put him in a box. Whatever box that I make, he always destroys it. He's too big for a box. My brain can't comprehend, because God is outside of space, he's outside of time, he's outside of mass. And we're in it. And so we got a pebble view of God on one beach. So I don't know how many beaches there are on the planet, but every beach has grains or pebbles of sand. So you are one pebble of sand on one beach out of a plethora of beaches and a plethora of sand. And from your vantage point, you are describing the ineffable, unknown, unknowable God. Now, that is, on my humble opinion, that's a very dangerous and a very arrogant thing to do. So I stopped doing it. Now, I can define it. It's like electricity. We know what electricity does, but we really don't know what it is. Gravity. We know what gravity does, but we really can't define what gravity is. We know what God does, but we really can't define what God is. We know what his attributes and his characteristics are. So we take those attributes and those characteristics, and we find one thing that's the foundation of all of God's attributes and all of God's characteristics. That is aletheia. And aletheia in the Greek, K-E-N-O-O, altruism, what some people will call love. But when we use the word love, we think about earthly love. We don't understand biblical love. So biblical love, the way that God loves, God is absence, it's altruistic love. That means that it is devoid of the ego. It's not self-seeking. Now, we got the love chapter in the scripture that gives us more, you know, information on this altruistic ideal of this unselfish devotion. There's no self. It's selfless. And so religion comes around, and religion says something totally different. And so what we find is that religion causes so much division, and the reason that it causes division, as we read in Hosea 4:6, Matthew 22:29, talks about the Sadducees were in error because they did not know the scriptures. Romans 10:1 talks about the Israelites had zeal but no knowledge. So there are many people who have a lack of knowledge, as those three scriptures kind of talk about, but that's not the problem that really, really causes the derision or the division. Some people talk about, again, the lack of knowing scriptures that they talk about in Matthew 22. That's not the real thing that causes this issue. Some people talk about the lack of, I'm having too much zeal and no knowledge. Again, that's not the real issue. Some people look at preachers and say, well, you know, some preachers are preaching area. We've got the prosperity gospel and all of this stuff. That's true, but that's not the real issue. The real issue is the self. The real issue is dilemma. Dilemma, again, is a Greek word that means will or intent. So the real foundation is what the number one Luciferian agenda. Why do you think the Luciferians promote this? Why do you think Jay-Z and Kanye West and everybody's walking around with these T-shirts that says, do as thy wilt? What is the number one cause of division? Do me. Instead of do we. The number one cause, and the reason why religion is so dangerous, is because it teaches you to do you. It doesn't teach you to do we. No religion, no division. If you got religion, you got division. Because religion, by definition, is an agreed upon set of beliefs. So I get a bunch of people together and we agree that, you know, what happened to the Council of Nicaea? Constantine got a bunch of people together. They agreed upon establishing the canonized and what was canon and what wasn't. Okay, what happened before the Council of Nicaea? All religions start, and I can't think of one that didn't start this way. I cannot think of one religion that didn't start with somebody, Joseph Smith, Mormonism. He goes out into the woods, bright light, angel appeared to him, tells him to do A, B, C, D, bam. Scientology, wow. Jehovah's Witness, Buddha, Islam, all of the religions, major religions of the world, were started because somebody said that God told them something. And then they got a group of people together and they agreed. And they agreed upon this interpretation that God gave them and they formed a religion. That's called denominationalism. That causes confusion. That causes division. That causes disagreement. And so regardless of where you go on the country, on the globe, you will find this division. You will find confusion. Don't believe me? Get a bunch of religious people together. It's like getting a bunch of lawyers together. That is why it's so dangerous. What happens during the Inquisition? There has been so many atrocities that has been committed throughout history in the name of religion. So if you wish to condemn, well, and that's a very, very tough word, if you wish to condemn any particular ideology, you have to look at its capacity for evil in the world. And then you got to take into consideration its capacity for good. That's the bottom line. Because God, as I know, is a God of love. He didn't say God didn't say he created love. God says, I am love. He says, any man that does not have love does not know God. We talked about that on yesterday's show. So if you don't have love, then you don't know God. So how can you, you know, my ISIS, you know, I use the word friends loosely, Islam. So they want to impose the, you know, the Noahide laws. And they want to decapitate. They want to behead Christians. Now, I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I don't find too much love in being decapitated just because I believe something different than you. So let me get this right. So you want to chop my head off in the name of religion. Now, I don't know about you, but that really causes division. That really caused me to separate myself from you when you tell me that your God says that you want to take my head. Yep, that is the definition. That is the capacity for evil that trumps any capacity for good. And so when people look at religions, I look at what capacity of evil does that religion have if left unrestrained? What if the world was just full of, the Christian religion was in control and believers was running the show? What kind of world would that be if, I mean, we can kind of look at it and answer the question right now. You know the most dangerous person on the planet is a believer? A Christian believer. Because Christians do some, we've done and we do some very, very crazy things. I was passing by now. I don't believe in abortion. But I don't believe in kidding. I don't believe in taking. I saw when I was a cop, I was responding to a disturbance in front of an abortion clinic by believers. They was beating the women as they were walking into the clinic. Now, brothers and sisters, these were Bible-toting believers. What about the homosexual agenda? I've seen Bible-toting believers put their hands physically on homosexuals and try to remove their head from their bodies in the name of religion. Where does the anger come from? The Bible says, be angry and sin not. So does religion cause evil, suffering, division, and war? How much division, how much evil, how much suffering and division would there be in the world if there was no religion? Really think. I mean, it's hard to think because I don't know about you guys. I've never been in an environment where there was no religion. I've known religion all my life. I can't even fathom the ideal of living in a place where there was no religion. But if there was no religion, would there be any evil? Would there be any suffering? Would there be any division? What about wars and rumors of wars? I don't know about you, brothers and sisters. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know, you know, if we remove our religion. I know that religion causes a lot of crime, resentment, bloodshed, division, poverty, because religion departmentalizes us. All you got to do is go to any church. You know that the most segregated hour or day is Sunday morning? I don't know about you, but what color is God? Is God black? Is God white? So why is it we got white churches and we got black churches? The most segregated hour in America is Sunday morning worship. I remember back in my college days, I was at San Marcos. When I was writing my PhD, I went to a lot of different churches, different religions, and primarily Caucasian. And I would walk in, I would be the only African-American or only black person in that particular organization. I would go to it, and I wanted to see the response. Surprisingly, it was better than I thought, actually. You know, they embraced me, hugged me, oh, welcome, brother, come in, you know. It was very interesting. Because then you do the same thing in the African-American church. You're Caucasian, go to an all-black church. See how warmly you are received. Interesting religion. Where does violence, injustice, poverty, and pain come from, brothers and sisters? Is it not a religious system? Is it not a political system? That's all religion is. Religion is just a collective, agreed upon system. So is the mafia. So is gangs. Go to the prison system. What do you have? A group of thugs who got together and decided they're going to rough up other people who are not in there, you know, who don't wear a certain color. What does religion do? Religion gets a group of people together. They rough up anybody else who don't believe in their God. Now, the way that they rough you up may not be as physical as the gangster or the mob or the mafia, but the religion is like any other organized syndicate or organized crime. In fact, based on my 20-plus years inside of the criminal justice system, very hard to tell the difference between organized religion and organized crime. Very, very hard. That's the reason I'm doing today's show. Religion and organized crime are so close together, they could be kissing cousins. Religion. Now, there's a lot of religious people out there. What is a religious person? When we say religious, well, all we got to do is just look at what the Bible talks about. When it talks about a scribe and a Pharisee, they, you know, the washing of hands, and they keep these. In fact, let's go to Matthew 23, and we'll read it. because we'll see something that's very profound. And I just want you to, and we'll bring it to the close after reading Matthew 23. Now, this is the words of Yahushua. First of all, he said that these scribes and Pharisees, these religious people, they have a religion, they have a system that they agreed upon way of behaving and acting. They have a God that they've all agreed is God, and their definitions, their characteristics and attributes that they subscribe to God, this describes him. He can't do anything more or less than that. So I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I took God out of the box. I used to have him in a box too. And no matter what size box I got, I found out that the box was too small. I had some pretty big boxes. They were all too small, so I just got rid of them. And I just say, you know, he's the incomprehensible, unknowable, unknown, his name is unutterable. He's the Father of lights. That's what James said, that all good gifts come down from the Father of lights. But Yahushua, when he describes these scribes and Pharisees inside of the, you know, Matthew 23, he starts off by saying in Matthew 23, 2, the scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. Now, Moses' seat was like a big, huge chair that was decorated in gold, and it was like the fanciest. It was the head. It's like the, you know, you go to these some of these really, really fancy dining tables, and they have a big chair for, you know, the matriarch or the patriarch of the family. Well, if you go to any church, you'll find a big chair sitting up there in the pulpit. And, you know, the lead pastor sits in a big chair. That's called Moses' seat. Yahushua says something interesting about that. He says that the scribes and Pharisees, yeah, they want to sit in Moses' seat. Verse 3, Matthew 23:3 says, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. So Matthew 23:3 is saying that, hey, these scribes and Pharisees, they're going to tell you what to do, but watch them. They ain't going to do what they're telling you to do. They don't lead by example. They say, go charge that hill. We'll sit here and wait for you to come back. Yahushua would say that's a scribe and a Pharisee. But, you know, I guess we should define those terms. I've defined them on many, many shows. We all know that the word scribe inside of the Helios Biblios means grammatus. Let me play it really quickly.
G 11:22. Grammatus. Grammatus.
Well, we get the word grammaria and grammari or grammar or gamma. Now, it has five other Greek words, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to break them all down. Simply means somebody who is an expert in letter writing. Somebody who practices graphics to express a attribute of God through a letter. That's a scribe. The Father, or I'm sorry, Jesus, Yahushua, yeah, he didn't like those cats too well. He says, whoa, 7 or 8 times here in Matthew 23. But then a Pharisee, this is where religious, you want to know what a religious person is? Check out this definition of the word Pharisee. Let me play it for you in the original Greek.
53:30, Pharisaios, Pharisaios.
Pharisaios, Pharisaios. So Pharisaios in the Greek, it means a sect. Again, sect, it means an organization, a collective, people come together. Jewish, it says that they recognize the oral tradition. It says they are sought for, they sought to distinguish, or that they are sought for distinguished praise by outward observance of external rites and by an outward form of piety. An outward form, not an inward, an outward form of piety. Then it says, and such as ceremonial washings, fastings, prayers, and alms, giving, and a comparatively neglecting of genuine piety, they pride themselves on their fancied good works. they hold very strenuous beliefs in the existence of good and evil angels. And then it goes on and lists some other things. Now, brothers and sisters, the reason why that is so important is because that definition fits the modern day religious group. Now, we could say a lot of other things, but again, Matthew 23 says something that I want to close with that's very, very interesting about religious people. Matthew 23:4 says, "For they bind heavy burdens, and they are too grievous to bear, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves, they will not move them with one of their fingers." That was Matthew 23, verse 4. Look at Matthew 23, verse 5. Now, again, what causes division? People with this attitude cause division. They tell you to do stuff, but they're not willing to do it. And then look at the next verse here in Matthew 23, 5. It says, "But all of their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their," P-H-Y-L-A-C-T-E-R. I got to look that one up. I've looked it up before. I don't want to butcher the pronunciation on it for you guys because, again, I'm not making this up. I'm reading this right out of Matthew 23. Now, the correct pronunciation of that word, at least the non-plural version.
Phylactery.
Let me play it again.
Phylactery.
So phylacteries is plural.
Phylactery.
Phylactery is a Jewish word. It means, according to the dictionary, it means it's like a phylactery. Phylacteries, because it's plural. So it says in Matthew 23, these phylacteries, it says, first of all, anything they do, they want to be seen. They want to get attention. Then it says, they have broad phylacteries, and they seek to enlarge the borders of their garments. Look at the garment, that has to do with tent, church. So they want big buildings. They want to be seen by a lot of people. They want to make broad phylacteries. Now, that word phylacteries, again, if you go to dictionary.com or any good dictionary, it talks about a leather box containing Old Testament text, basically a Bible. But they want to, notice what it says, they make broad their phylacteries. So it's like they adding to a leather book. It's like they got a leather Torah or a leather Bible, and they add stuff to it. They make it broader. Interesting. I thought that was interesting how it reads in Matthew 23:5. But then this is another thing that religious folk do, Matthew 23:6. "And they love the uppermost rooms at feast, and they love the chief seats in the synagogue." They want to sit up front. They want to be seen. This causes division. Notice the emphasis on being seen. Notice the emphasis on being noticed. Notice the emphasis. This is why religion is so dangerous, brothers and sisters. No religion, there's no division. Because none of this stuff exists without religion. Nobody's fighting over who's going to sit in Moses' seat. Nobody's fighting over who's going to be seen. Nobody's fighting and arguing over who's going to do what. Nobody's fighting and arguing over enlarging their church or their tent. Nobody wants to sit in the upper room at the feast. Hey, I want to sit at the head table. I want to get the biggest plate. But then verse 7 says, Matthew 23:7, "And the greetings in the markets so that they can be called of men, rabbi, rabbi." So they go places so that way you can call them Reverend Dr. Bishop. Make sure, don't address me unless you address me as Bishop or so on and so forth. You can call me Brother Will. I'm good with that. You don't even call me brother. You can call me Will. But then it continues, Matthew. Let's jump down 23:8. It says, "But be," Be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, for all the brethren. Then it goes down and it says, neither be called masters. And then it says, verse 11, he that is greatest among you shall be the servant of all. And then it gets into the woes. Matthew 23:13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Ye yourself cannot go in, and you suffer ye them that are entering to go in. In other words, you can't go to heaven, you prevent other people from going to heaven. And then it lists all of the other woes. The one that I really want to highlight, you know, the one that talks about, you know, the one we just mentioned is pretty big. They shut up the kingdom of heaven, and they preventing other people from entering in, and they themselves can't enter in. They can't enter in. But then it says in Matthew 23, verse 15, this is the most condemning one of all. Matthew 23:15. We'll close with this. And this is the problem that I have, my brothers and sisters. As you guys know, I was licensed and ordained for 10 years, so I'm not just making this stuff up. This is what I saw. Matthew 23:15. This is what is the hard, this is the tough one. Let me read it in the King James, and then we read it in the New Living Translation. In the King James, Matthew 23:15 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you encompass, or you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. See, I had a big problem with Matthew 23:15. That used to bother me a lot because, you know, that was a big emphasis in the ministry that I was in. And, you know, recruitment. So we would go downtown to the homeless shelter. You know, we would pass out, you know, tracts, and we would sandwiches and blankets and stuff. And we was always proselytizing. We was trying to convert people. We didn't tell them, hey, you can go to any church. We tell them, like, you got to come to our church because God is there. We didn't say God wasn't at other churches. We just said that, you know, God really likes our church. He shows up every Sunday. So come to our church. Matthew 23. I remember the first time I read it, and I had this empty feeling in my stomach. Matthew 23:15 in the New Living Translation says, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, you hypocrites? For you cross land and sea to make one convert, and then you turn that person into twice the child of hell than you yourselves are. See, Yahushua didn't like scribes and Pharisees. He didn't like religious people. He didn't like people who had all of the stuff that we mentioned. They wanted to be seen by other people. They wanted to be heard. They wanted to sit in the front of the church. They wanted to get the biggest. You know why there's so much eating going on in church? You know, every Sunday, you know, what people usually do, they go out to eat. Or the church has some big, you know, feast going on. Now, I'm not saying anything wrong with that, brother and sister. All I'm saying is, what causes division? So if I go up there and everybody getting a plate, and I get there and I don't have a plate, yeah, I'm going to be a little upset. Why come I didn't get a plate? So everybody sit on the front row because they want to be close to the reverend, not the bishop. So I rush to church. I get there early, and there's standing room only. I can't sit in the front. So I'm going to be a little, you know, perturbed. So religion, in and of itself, by definition, is division. It doesn't cause it. It is. Religion means I'm going to separate myself from everybody else. Now, everybody tells me, well, brother, we're supposed to separate ourselves. The Bible tells us, you know, to come out from among her. I don't know what, you know, I don't know what Yahushua, he hung out with tax collectors and prostitutes. The sick have need of a physician, not the well. And so I don't do religion anymore, brothers and sisters. I'm a retired religious zealot. See, when I did it, I didn't do it like most of you guys did. See, I bought a brand new car, and I put a big sticker. The guy could not believe it because I got it off the showroom floor, and he said, are you sure you want to put this on your car, sir? I'm like, yes, sir. So I put a big thing on my car that says, Jesus saves. Everybody else going to hell. And so I would go downtown here in San Antonio, and I would find these, you know, homeless people, and I would ask them, do you know Jesus Christ? And they would say, well, you know, yes, no, maybe so. And I would tell them, I didn't meet their need, because the only thing they want to know is they ask me, hey, do you have any food? Do you have drugs? Can you help me do this? I need medication. I said, no, you don't need none of that. You need Jesus. And I was interested because I know Jesus usually met the need first before he gave the word. But see, I had it backwards. I had all zeal, but I didn't have no knowledge. And the Reverend Dr. Bishop, they just pat me on the back and they said, good job, Brother Will. And so that's what I did when I was a young whippersnapper and I was a religious zealot. And what did I do? Cause division. Nobody wanted to hang out with me. My family members would see me coming. They would go in the other direction. I isolated myself from my family. I cut off myself from all of my friends. Nobody wanted to hang around with me because I was so arrogant and cocky. And I was boastful and I was proud and I was an egotistical maniac. But I had a collar on and a Bible, so that made me right. So you had to sit down and shut up and listen. Because I was all-knowing, I was all-powerful, and I was all-present. And I was dumb as a box of rocks. I look back on that man, and I don't recognize him anymore. Brothers and sisters, religion creates egoism on a level that is, you don't believe me? Go to a big church and try to approach T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar. See how fast they tackle you to the ground. Egoism is the ideal of valuing yourself, your interests, above everybody else's. Go to church. Don't take my word for it. Sunday's coming up. It's right around the corner. Put on your best doodads. No, in fact, wear some jeans and an old wrinkly shirt. Watch how the ushers, especially if you go to African-American church, pull you to the side and seat you conveniently in the back. The word ego, brothers and sisters, means self-absorbed, self-interest. Ego is the number one thing for the Luciferian agenda. Promote thyself. If it feels good, do it. Whereas altruism, whereas the love of the truth, totally devoid of ego. Totally devoid. There is no I. It's like Galatians, what is it? I think it's Galatians 2 something, where it says that I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Brothers and sisters, it's time us, we need to do away with the I am, and we need to get on board with the we are. It is no longer acceptable to promote the flesh or the self or the I. It's time to promote the we, us. We are all part of the kingdom of God. Religion is division. No religion, no division. My brothers and my sisters, again, we'll be going to a pay-per-view type of a setting here in the future, probably in the beginning of March. Again, if I get enough people that's willing to join me, so I'm encouraging everybody, if you find any of my shows valuable, again, I have 3 blog talk channels. I promote this one. I have another one that deals with nutrition, another one that deals with business or wealth issues. I have 5 YouTube channels. I got 9 websites. All of them have a plethora of information that I've been going and rolling with for the last 20 years. If you would like to see this continue, please support me, you know, and what I do in the ministry. Again, if you can do a donation, that's great. I want to give a shout-out to my brother. I don't know if he's listening, Brother John, good brother, good friend of mine. Great, made a donation yesterday. So, again, thank you so much, my brother. You know, wow, so many people that have been instrumental in my life and what I'm doing, Brother Lee and, you know, Sister Ellen and, wow, Sister Helen and Sister Ellen, and there's so many people. So, brothers and sisters, if what you are hearing today, if I said anything that was of value, again, just email me at masterteacher33.com@gmail.com, and just let me know, hey, Brother Will, I support you, man. If you can make a donation, that's great. If you can't, just, you know, just encouraging words. You know, we all want to make sure that we're following and we're being effective for the kingdom of God. My brothers and my sisters, again, God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth. Because he will never, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brother, as always, my sister, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Negative with thoughts, then you should blur it out. Why take a sedative when you could take your courage out? Why take a sedative when you could take your courage out? Let's make them feel it, we ain't even got to curse it all. Like getting digits, you ain't even have to flirt it all. I got these dividends, that dividends can't buy it all. I got these dividends, that dividends can't buy it all. I'm about to shift again, no blending and no not at all. And all my frenemies and enemies and buy them all. Cause this is skipping, it's a misery, it's about to fall. They got monopolies and properties inside a store. Don't trace that money out there properly, it's not for y'all. And ain't it funny, cause we'll grind, but we don't fight at all. I know we think it, but we keep it all inside us all. I know we think it, but we keep it all inside us all. I spoke to Jesus, he gon' lead us through these enemies.